Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Columbia won't be flying today after all. The astronauts were in the space shuttle this morning and the countdown was proceeding normally. And then a hitch developed and today's launch was scrubbed. The story from Reed Collins.
It was 31 seconds from liftoff when the computers that orchestrate the complex series of events refused to continue and stop the clock. A couple of hours passed. Joe Engel and Richard Truly waited patiently up in the Columbia's cockpit. The countdown clock was started again, but the oil pressure in two of the onboard auxiliary power units showed high. And then NASA decided to call it quits.
At the present time, we have scrubbed for the day. It will be at least 48 hours before we can reschedule. It could be longer depending on what the problem is with the auxiliary power units and how long it's determined it will take to fix that.
That official announcement was greeted by groans from the crowds here at the Cape, where incidentally the sun is shining for the first time today. Reed Collins, CBS News, Kennedy Space Center.
The Soviet Union today launched another unmanned space probe toward Venus, the second in 6 days. TASS says both are expected to reach the vicinity of Venus next March. With some ballots still to be counted, the race for governor of New Jersey has turned into a cliffhanger, the Garden State's closest gubernatorial contest in a century. At the moment, Republican Thomas Kane holds an extremely narrow lead over Democrat James Florio, but it's not conclusive. Karen Stone reports.
All night long, as the votes were being counted, the lead flip-flopped. First, Republican Kane was ahead, then Democrat Florio, then Kane again. But never by much, only a few thousand votes. Finally, in the wee hours of the morning, Republican Kane went before supporters. He told them he was confident the slender lead he had would hold during the final count. Minutes later, Democrat Florio told well-wishers, although the race was close, he would end up the winner. Florio began the campaign enjoying a substantial lead, but in the final weeks, pollsters found more independent and undecided voters opted for Kane. So, although each man hoped to wake up this morning finding himself New Jersey's governor-elect, it appears the issue won't be settled until all the ballots are counted, and most likely recounted. Karen Stone, CBS News, New York.
Virginia has elected a Democratic governor for the first time since 1965, and we'll hear about that from Bill Lynch in Richmond.
After a campaign which saw both major candidates slug it out with vitriolic commercials, the outcome seemed to be determined more by organization than image or ideology. Democrat Charles Robb, with the aid of fine weather and an efficient get-out-the-vote operation, rolled up big margins among blacks and blue-collar voters in the cities and poor whites in rural and coal mining areas. He even captured such Republican strongholds as the suburbs of Richmond. Republican Marshall Coleman lost Fairfax County in Northern Virginia, where 4 years earlier the Republicans won by 23,000 votes. Robb was clearly elated at breaking a 12-year Republican monopoly on the governor's mansion.
How sweet it is!
Because of Robb's endorsement of President Reagan's economic policy and his conservative stance on other issues, yesterday's Virginia election can hardly be taken as an anti-administration backlash. Even so, the loss of what had become the South's most solid Republican state is little comfort to the Reagan White House. Bill Lynch, CBS News, Richmond.
Incumbent mayors were re-elected in some of the nation's largest cities, among them Edward Koch in New York, Coleman Young in Detroit, Donald Fraser in Minneapolis, Richard Caligiuri in Pittsburgh, George Voinovich in Cleveland. The veteran Erastus Corning won an 11th term as mayor of Albany, New York. But Maurice Ferre was forced into a runoff in Miami next Tuesday with the runner-up Manolo Rebozo.
You think you have to give up styling to get high mileage? You haven't seen the beautiful 1982 Datsun 200 SXSL. We call it power styling. The low sporty wedge design and sloping hood turns heads as surely as this car turns corners. Inside the new 200 SXSL built by Nissan is the ultimate in comfort and sophistication. This car even talks to you.
Lights are on.
On the road, a more powerful 2.0. 2.2-liter engine whisked you along without sacrificing economy. EPA estimated 26 mpg with 5 speed, 38 highway. Use 26 for comparison, your mileage may differ. Highway mileage will probably be less. The affordable 200 SXSL, a stunning example of Nissan quality. See all the 1982 Datsun cars and trucks at your Datsun dealer.
The case of the Soviet submarine in Swedish waters appears to be taking on new dimensions. Doug Tunnell reports from the Karlskrona Naval Base.
The Soviet Union increased its naval force off the coast of southern Sweden today, according to Swedish commanders here. Three more Soviet warships entered the area near the Karlskrona Naval Base, where a Soviet submarine is in the custody of the Swedish Navy. The Swedes say a Soviet frigate of the Riga class arrived this morning. Two Soviet corvettes are reportedly steaming toward the Soviet force at sea. The three ships bring the total Soviet force to 10 warships in all. Since the submarine ran aground in Swedish territorial waters, seven Soviet vessels have been standing by just beyond this country's 12-mile limit. Negotiations to resume the interrogation of the submarine's captain came to a standstill overnight. Swedish officers said yesterday the Russian captain received new orders from his superiors not to leave his submarine for further questioning by Swedish authorities. The submarine is at anchor in a military area near the shoal upon which it ran aground. It is surrounded by Swedish gunboats and marine and paratroop commandos positioned on nearby islands. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, at the Karlskrona Naval Base, Sweden.
Secretary of State Haig is testifying this morning before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. The stated topic is arms control. But Deborah Potter reports that Haig is certain to be asked about the latest foreign policy flap, one that has taken on political overtones on Capitol Hill.
Republicans are concerned that Haig's published comments accusing a top White House aide of being out to get him for the past 9 months could undercut the administration's credibility on foreign policy. Democrats, not surprisingly, are delighted that Haig went public. It gives them all the more ammunition to back up their charges that the country's foreign policy is in disarray. State Department officials deny that Haig has threatened to quit if the backbiting doesn't stop, and nobody's saying publicly whom it could be coming from. National Security Advisor Richard Allen has denied that he's the source. The White House says President Reagan has made it clear that he supports Haig and he expects a team effort. But what's uncertain is how he intends to get it. Deborah Potter, CBS News, the State Department.
Haig told the committee this morning that he and the president remain in total agreement on foreign policy. Mr. Reagan is reviewing the economy this week with his top advisors, and CBS News Washington correspondent Bill Plant reports that Mr. Reagan is being told that things are a lot worse than some of those advisors predicted a few months ago. CBS News, according to Plant, has learned that Mr. Reagan is looking at figures that show the fiscal 82 deficit more than double the earlier projection, as much as $90 billion. This is the second anniversary of an event that seared its way into the history books, the takeover of the American Embassy in Tehran. Liz Trotta in New York takes a retrospective look.
These are the sounds 53 Americans will never forget. The sounds of a mob that engulfed the U.S. Embassy 2 years ago and began a siege that would last 444 days. Days in which America itself became hostage. 9 months have passed since the release of the hostages. The parades are over, the yellow ribbons are gone, and the hostages are back to normal life. CBS News has talked with almost all the 53 and learned that being a hostage, being a hero, has somehow changed their lives. Al Golisinski, for example, now at the National War College.
There are certain tensions, but I picked up my life. That's what I intend to do. That's what I have done. That's what I will continue to do. It's possible that the other shoe will drop for any number of us. We don't know.
Resentment against Iranians is also prevalent. For example, Chief Warrant Officer Joe Hall.
And so they've gotten off scot-free. Well, America might be able to live with that, and I am content to live with it, but it just kind of aggravates me to think that that happened to me and my family, and not one thing has happened to them because of it.
Since the release, 21 have been promoted in their jobs, 10 are serving again in foreign posts, 6 have married, at least 4 are divorced and 3 separated, and several are under psychiatric care. But as a group, the recovery from their ordeal has been remarkable. One hostage, however, disagrees. It is not at all remarkable, he says. After all, we're Americans. Liz Trotta, CBS News, New York.
In Poland, Solidarity Chief Lech Wałęsa has not been able to unite the labor movement's leadership behind a ban on strikes. Wałęsa hopes to discuss Poland's economic and labor problems today with Prime Minister Jaruzelski and Archbishop Józef Gimp, the Roman Catholic Primate of Poland. The dollar declined a trifle today against the major foreign currencies, and gold prices are firm. The price was fixed in London at $431 an ounce, up around $2 from yesterday.
Newsbreak. This morning, Americans are watching the story of the second flight of the space shuttle unfold. Most probably feel a bit of pride because of the event. It's something good about America, after all. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. 2 years ago this morning, America was also fascinated by an event, but that day, the fascination was tinged with horror as we heard of the takeover of the American embassy in Iran and the taking of 53 hostages. That event would weigh on us for 444 days. For many of the hostages, the weight of that captivity is still heavy. How they're doing, in just a minute.
The Meta Theater presents...
You know, Al, they ought to have an auto club for copiers.
What?
You know, when your car breaks down, they come right over. That's what they need for copiers.
Harry, what you need is a Meta copier.
Meta?
Meta, Harry, Meta. With over 500 dealers, Meta has more than Xerox, more than Savin, more than IBM.
More than Xerox?
So you get fast, reliable service. Now, isn't that like an auto club for copiers, Harry?
More than Xerox.
Meta! Full service copiers.
Call 800-631-1376.
Kava Instant Coffee presents Kava Convert, Melody Rich.
Why'd I switch to Kava? With all the coffee I drink, I really appreciate one that's 90% acid neutralized.
Kava Convert, Vic Wagner.
I switched because Kava's less acid in the cup. I stay with Kava because I get full flavor in the cup.
Kava Convert, Helen Smith.
Kava showed me how rich and acid neutralized coffee can be.
Be a Kava Convert, switch to Kava. Taste so rich, keep filling it up.
The hostages. You don't have to say the hostages from the takeover of the American embassy in Tehran, even today, 2 years later. Just the hostages. Catherine Kolb was one of them.
Each of us has a different story to tell. Each of us was treated differently. Each of us responded differently. The only person I can talk about with real authority is Kate Kolb.
Kolb is among 22 of the hostages who worked the lecture circuit today, talking about their experiences. The captivity may mean a political future for Bruce Langen, who was chargé d'affaires at the embassy. He's contemplating a run for the U.S. Senate.
There's been discussion of that, talk of that, and I've been approached by people in the political arena. I can only say that I am enormously honored and flattered to think that I would be capable of any such service.
But the embassy siege has had negative effects on the lives of some of the hostages. Malcolm Kalp was brutally beaten and kept in solitary confinement for more than a year.
Then six of them worked me over and beat me into unconsciousness on two occasions, kept me handcuffed and tied for seven straight days and nights, and they kicked me in the temple a couple of times, and I still have a consistent ringing in my ears that at times keeps me, well, I shouldn't say at times, most of the time, I don't get a very good night's sleep because of it.
Chief Warrant Officer Joseph Hall remembers the 444 days, and the memories have filled him with dread.
I feel like something is going to happen to me. I don't know if it's going to be a car wreck or if it's going to be something that involves my wife or one of my parents or my sisters or exactly how it's going to come, but I feel like there's impending doom.
Joseph Subic is remembered as the hostage who appeared in a propaganda film accusing other hostages of working for the CIA. Correspondent Liz Trotta questioned him about this second anniversary of the takeover and what future anniversaries will hold.
How long are you supposed to hold out? Indefinitely? You're supposed to lose your mind? You're supposed to lose an arm, a leg, your life?
Do you think the day will come when you don't ask yourself that question? What if I'd held out 5 minutes more?
Someday I hope that does happen, but when it does, I'll be happy. But then again, it may never. You know, that may be a scar that I'll have for eternity.
The hostages remembered 2 years after. And now this message.
The place, the great American home of Betsy Ross.
The paint only Sears best for a patriot's home. The price of $5 saving. Sears Easy Living, all four finishes are now on sale for just $9.99 and $10.99 a gallon. Sears best yet, Easy Living covers any color in one coat when applied as directed. The home, the paints, the price, outstanding. Save $5. For great American homes like yours, you can count on Sears.
Newsbreak. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
CBS News. After its victory on the AWACS sale, the administration appears to take a step back. I'm Richard C. Hotelet reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Yesterday, the administration was planning U.S. participation in a communications satellite for the Middle East. Today, it is not. Ike Pappas reports.
Several senators raised serious questions about the satellite system called ArabSat because two nations hostile to the United States, Muammar Gaddafi's Libya and South Yemen, plus the Palestine Liberation Organization, which President Reagan called a terrorist group, were listed by the State Department as being participants in the project. Today, Secretary of State Haig told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee the request for congressional permission for an American company to build parts for the communication satellite system has been canceled.
In the light of your concerns expressed here yesterday, we have withdrawn this proposal to give us time for further consultation here with the committee and further assessment of the implications of the sale.
Sources said one reason for the withdrawal was the awareness by the State Department that the deal, if it went through, would further raise doubts among the Israelis about the American commitment to support Israel. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Washington.
Israel State Radio reports that Secretary of State Haig has sent Prime Minister Begin a letter promising that the United States will continue its full support of the Camp David Accords for Middle East peace. More news after this.
Boring.
Boring, honey?
Mm-hmm, boring. You are the most fabulous man in the world.
Oh, thank you, dear.
But you make the most boring food in the known universe.
Oh.
Cheese.
Cheese, dear?
Cheese adds a slice of life.
Life?
Mm, the opposite of boring.
Well, that's all well and good, but you have to remember that I'm a little lazy, too.
Oh, it's easy to add a slice of life with cheese.
Yeah?
Sure. Once you go to the store and buy it.
Me go
to... By the way, I should mention that our store is featuring cheese right now.
Right now?
Right now.
Featuring cheese?
Featuring cheese.
I see.
And once you buy it, you can slice it, you can grate it, you can grill it, you can sauce it, you can melt it, you can ship it, you can dip it, you can bake it.
Bake it?
A potato.
But you said cheese.
On the potato.
Oh, that slice of life thing.
Dense.
Dense, dear?
You are the most dense person in the whole world.
How would you define it? This episode of Cheese Adds a Slice of Life, which is now featured at a store near you, has been brought to you by the American Dairy Association.
Considerable movement, but no visible progress in the story of the Soviet submarine. The Soviet Union has increased its naval force off the coast of southern Sweden in the region of the Karlskrona naval base where the submarine is being held. The captain of the sub says he will not leave his ship again for questioning by Swedish officials, but a Swedish naval expert went aboard for an hour this morning. In Moscow, Sweden's ambassador says he's been called to the Foreign Office twice this week to discuss the incident, and today the Soviet Union made its first comment on the affair. Mary Wisniewski reports.
The official news agency CAS issued a two-sentence dispatch that says the sub's navigational instruments malfunctioned, causing it to run off course. CAS says the sub was on an ordinary training cruise in the Baltic. Talks are underway with Swedish authorities, CAS says, but does not mention the fact that Sweden has already rejected this explanation of the incident and is holding the sub until the Soviet Union explains to Sweden's satisfaction. The Soviet news agency also makes no mention of the apology the Soviet Union has offered to Swedish authorities, nor of the diplomatic furor the incident has unleashed. Mary Wisniewski for CBS News, Moscow.
With 31 seconds remaining on the countdown clock, the second launch of the Space Shuttle Columbia was scrubbed this morning until Friday at the earliest. Space officials are studying two problems, whether the oil pressure was too high in the Columbia's auxiliary units and why computers halted the automatic flight sequencer at T-minus 31 seconds. Secretary of State Haig on Capitol Hill this morning said that new arms limitation talks between the United States and the Soviet Union could begin as early as next spring, but only if the overall state of U.S.-Soviet relations is good enough.